Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevameis Kof Vav. We begin right on top. Tanu Rabban, Chalitza Mutas Kshira. Suppose the Yavam was tricked into the Chalitza, it works. Eizohi Chalitza Mutas. What exactly happened to fool the Yavam? Amar Reish Lakish. Look, they tell him, Kol she'omrim lo chalitza. They tell him, you just do chalitza ubekach atakoinza. By which way you are actually going to acquire the yivam. This yavam wants to do yivam. Suppose he's not really suitable, it's not appropriate, an appropriate match. So we try to get him to do chalitza without knowing it. Do the chalitza, they tell him, and that will accomplish the yivam. And he does it. He does the chalitza, it works. He says to him, how could you suppose that works? I have a price. You have to know what you're doing in order for it to be considered a chalitza. Whether he had a mind for chalitza, but she didn't realize what was happening. Or the opposite. She understood that this is a chalitza, but he did not, such as in this case that we just mentioned. Either way, chalitza pesula, it doesn't work. We have a halacha that there needs to be kavana for the kinyan, for the mitzvah. Achi iskavnu shneim keechad. They both have to have kavana as one. Va'at amres, and now you are proposing chalitza k'shera, that if they tricked him into doing the chalitza as a form of yibum, supposedly, right? It's kasher. That cannot be. So, Ella, rather, when the Brisa says Chalitza Mutas Kshira, you know what it's speaking about? They inserted a condition. They conditioned the Chalitza upon fulfillment of a Tanai. Ella, Kol She'imrim Lo. The Bezdin tells him, look, Chalitza, you do the Chalitza, don't worry, we'll get you something in return. Amanah She'titen Lecha Masayim Zuz, on condition that she gives you 200 Zuz. And he does the chalitza as required, and he never sees the money. It works. And Rashi explains, because truthfully speaking, a tanai cannot be affixed to a chalitza. You see, a tanai is only possible when we're speaking about an act that can be performed through a shaliach. Rashi learns based on the Gemara Ksubis, that's the way it works. You can do it through a shaliach, through an emissary, then you can affix a tanai, but if it's something personal, something which only you can do, only you yourself can do it, then a tanai has no effect in this type of situation. Chalitza is personal. Therefore, tanai is null and void. Tanya Navihochi, we have the same in a brisa that seems to support Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of Chalitza Mutas Kushera. We're speaking about an unfulfilled condition. Chalitza Mutas Kshera. How is that? Ezehi Chalitza Mutas. What exactly is this? Kol she'omrim lo, they tell him, Chalitza, you do the Chalitza? Amanas she'titen lecha masayim zuz, on condition that she pays you 200 zuz. He does the Chalitza, and it's over. In fact, it was a story where this took place. Uma asa b'isha achas she'nafla lifna yavam she'ein hogan lo. An isha was a yavama presenting to a yavam who was not an appropriate match. And he was insisting on Yivam, and they knew Chalitza is the better option. He refused. So they tricked him into it. V'amr lo, Chalitza, you know what, you do the Chalitza, amanah she'titen lecha masayim zuz, on condition that she pays you 200 zuz. He did the Chalitza, she never paid up the money. Uba masa, lefnei Reb Chiya, the question was presented to Reb Chiya, v'yachshira, he said it was okay. Ha'huda asa l'kamei de Reb Chiya, bar Abba. It was a Yivam situation presented to Reb Chiya bar Abba. Amar lo, so Reb Chiya turns to the Yivam, Biti, my daughter, Amoidi. Get up, meaning, go ahead, proceed to Yivam. That's your mitzvah. Amar le, Ima. So her mother was present, and she told Rabbi Chiya, hold it one second, Yishivasa, her holding back, her not doing Yivam, Zohi Amidasa, That's better for her. That's her remedy. That's actually preferred to Yibam. This is not really a good match. Amar lo, so Rabbi Chiya turns to the mother, Yadasla, is this based on some real concern? I mean, is there anything about the Yavam that you're concerned about? Amar lo, she tells him, actually, yes, yes. Mamayna, hu dechazala, he noticed her bank account. The kaboy lemichle mina, he's trying to milk her of her money and then divorce her. He has some sort of agenda. This is not a genuine mitzvah sivam. Omar lo, so Rabbi Chiya turns to the Yavama herself. Lo nichalacha, are you unwilling to do the Yivam? Do you agree with your mother's concern? Omar lay lo, she says, sure, 100%, I'm not interested. Omar lay, so Rabbi Chiya turns to the man. Chalitzla, you know what? I have an idea. You do the chalitza and trick the woman. Ubekachat akoinza, through which you will acquire her. So he pretended that chalitza is a form of yibum. This fellow complied, thinking that he's being miyabim her. Lebasa the chalitza. If he did the chalitza, armor late. So Rabbi Chiya turns to the man. Too late. It's over. Hashta minach ifs lola. At this point, she becomes puzzled to you. So even though you didn't have chalitza in mind, you meant for yibum, and we learned before that you need to have kavana, but nevertheless, it does have a psul effect. It stops the Yibam in its tracks. You can't do Yibam at this point. You have nothing to lose. Chalitzla. May as well do a proper Chalitza. Chalitzla. Chalitza Malisa. Kehechi de Tishter la'alma. This way she can go marry other people. What do you have to lose? Bas Chamua, the daughter of the father-in-law, the Rebbe Papa. Rebbe Papa's father-in-law's daughter, basically his sister-in-law. Naflo lifnei Yavam. She also had a similar situation. She presented herself as a Yavama to somebody who wasn't really a proper match. So what do we do? So the Yivam situation was presented to Abai. Amar Lei, so Abai turns to the Yavam and he says, the same idea. Chalitza ubukachat akoinza. You do your chalitza, and this is a way of acquiring the isha. Amar Lei, Rapapa was the, you know, the brother-in-law. He turns to Abaye, how could you suggest a chalitza without kavana? What about Rabbi Yechanan's braisa that you can't do chalitza without kavana? You're fooling him, you're tricking him into a chalitza, thinking that it's yibam. It's not going to work anyways. Okay, says Abaye. So what exactly do you want me to tell him? Amar Leis, he says, I have an idea. Use the other method. Chalitza al-Manas Shatit and Chamaya Saim Zuz. Tell him to do Chalitza on condition that he gets paid. Okay, so the fellow complied. Lebosa de Chalatz law, after this fellow did Chalitza with this condition attached to it, Amar Leis, so now Abaye turns to the Yivam and says, okay, keep your end of the deal. Right? Zil Havle, go give him the money. And as Rashi points out, although in reality, in Halacha, even if she does not keep her end of the deal, the Chalitza is still valid, as we explained before, because a T'nai cannot be affixed to Chalitza. Still, says Rashi, she made a commitment. It's like you hire somebody for a job. You can't just turn around and not pay his wages. You promise to pay him for this service. Amar Lei, so now Rav Papa, who is the brother-in-law, again advocating for his sister-in-law, turns to Abaye. He says, no payment necessary. You know why? Mishata Anibach of the Lei. She applied to him the concept called Mishata Anibach. I fooled you. I tricked you into this. Look, he was being difficult, unreasonable. She needed his chalitza. He was giving her a hard time, and this was a perfect way to get him to do it. It's justified, it makes sense. He's in the wrong. So you can use this type of means, this type of methods to sort of trick him into doing it, and now you don't have to pay up. Me like Tanya. Listen to this braisa, which teaches us this kind of idea, a similar idea, where somebody was coerced, blackmailed into paying something which was unjustified. He doesn't have to pay. This fellow had just escaped a prison, non-Jewish prison. And there he goes, he's at the river, and there's a ferry there. And the ferry driver realizes he's in dire straits, and he says, look, Yeah, I'll take you over for an inflated amount of money. V'amar leis, he says, okay, I agree. He had no choice. He says, Toil dinar v'avireni, take a dinar, a gold coin, and drive me across. Ein leil eschari. Once he gets to the other side of the river, he doesn't have to pay that inflated amount, which was extorted from him. You pay him the regular, market value, whatever the regular fee is. And Farshim explained, this ferry driver has a mitzvah of Hashavas Havedi. You know, Hashavas Havedi doesn't just apply to one's belongings. The Gemara of a Kama says it applies to a lost person as well, to put him back on the road. Hashavas Havedi of the highest degree, saving this person's life. Right? Escaping from the prisoners. So he had a chiv, an obligation to do Hashavas Havedi. Not only that, on top of that, Svara, look, he's an oines. You're forcing him, and you're using his predicament to force him into committing to something that's inflated and beyond reasonable. You have no right to do that. Oh, Alma Amarli, apparently this passenger can tell the ferry driver, Mishatani Bach, true, I said, but so what? It was unjustified, you forced me, you extorted, you blackmailed. So I acquiesced, but it wasn't really a true obligation, a true chiv. Hachanami here as well by the Yevama. It was his obligation. He should have done chalitza like a good boy. Why do you give her a hard time? So she's forced to sort of promise him gifts and money. That doesn't have any halachic validity. Hachanami, mishatani bach. Amrle, so Abaye was so astounded by, Rav Papa's insight. He had the whole situation crystal clear. All his, input here made a lot of sense. Amalisa Abaye, as we know, was an orphan. Right? In fact, the Rashi Tevis, you ever noticed Rashi Tevis of Abaye? Aleph Beis Yud Yud is based on the Pasuk in Nach, Asher Becha Yerucham Yosem. Aleph Beis Yud Yud, he was a Yosem. And he went through a hard time. He had difficult upbringing. He grew up as a Yasim, adopted by Rabba Bar Nachmeni. That's why they call him Nachmeni. Abaye sometimes called Nachmeni. In any case, Abaye responds to Rav Papa. He says, Amalei Avuch Hecha, where's your father? Amalei B'masa, he's in town, he's alive, he's okay. What about your mother? Ima Hecha, is she around? Do you have a mother? Do you have a stable home where you were brought up? Amalei, yeah, B'masa, she's also in town. And Abaye was sort of, Farshim say, he was so impressed and so taken by Rav Papa's insight, and he attributed to the fact that he had a stable place, a secure upbringing, and that created sort of an ayin hara effect in a very slight way. In contrast to his own upbringing, which was tumultuous and troublesome. So Yovu Enei, so Abaye sort of set his eyes on Rav Papa's parents, sort of in a from a distance, he thought about them, and it created an ayin hara v'shchivan, and this caused them to pass away. Tanu Rabban, chalitza mutas ksher. Oh, as we just learned, a tricked chalitza worked. Get muta pasul, but a tricked get does not work. Why? She says, look, you hand me a get, I'll give you 200 zuz. That tanai has validity, because a get, Rashi explains, a get, in contrast to chalitza, a get can be done through a shaliach, can send a get through a shaliach, and therefore a tanai can be affixed to a get as well, and you have to keep the tanai. What about a forced, a coerced chalitza or get? Chalitza mu'usis, if they force them to do chalitza, like physically force them, psula, that doesn't work, but a get mu'usa kasher, a forced get, the Chazal determine that it is in place to force them to give a get, it works, it's kosher. Echidomi, what exactly happened when they forced him? What was his response? Idom arayitza ani. If he says, okay, I'm willing to do it, no problem. Then what's the difference between chalitza and get? Afilu chalitza nami. Even chalitza would work in this manner. Vilo amarayitza ani. If he still refuses, get nami loy. Get wouldn't either work against his will. How can you ever find the difference between chalitza and get? Answers the Gemara. Hachik amar. The Braisa meant like this. We start from the beginning. Chalitza mutas loylam kosher. So this fellow was tricked by a pretense to do the chalitza. It works. V'get muta loylam pasul, as opposed to a get where tanai has validity, you have to keep it, otherwise it doesn't work. What about forced? Chalitza mu'usas. V'get mu'usa. True. Get and chalitza on the same plane. When it's forced, Zimnin kosher v'zimnin posel. At times it works, at times not. When? If he acquiesces. So you strap him and you force him and you say, okay, I'm willing to do it. Then it works. Whether it's chalitza or get, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he conceded. He's doing it willingly. You know, the Rambam says, Rambam has his kasha. Well, if you can't force him, it has to be willingly, then what good is it to force him until he says, yeah, I'm doing it willingly. It's forced. It's a forced confession. It's not really willing. So he says that the neshama of a yid wants to do what's right. Every yid has a neshama who wants to follow Hashem's will. If it's time to give a get, you give a get. So what's blocking? The Yetzer Hara. It's just hovering over that Yetzer Tov and blocking him and concealing him. You have to get to it. You have to move away the the blockages. You have to unclog the pipes. And that's what Bezdin does when they hit him. They weaken they subdue the bodily element of the Yetzer Hara blockages. And then the Neshama shines out in full glory. Ah, right, Sonny, of course. This is what I wanted to do all along. That's his true Ratzin. Rambam and Hilchas Gerushin. So if ultimately he says Roitzani, that works. But if he never got to that point of Roitzani, then it doesn't work. This sign, yes, we find that Brian said regarding a carbon, the Akrav Oisai, which sounds like you force him to bring the carbon. If he's chayav a carbon, you can force him. You mean really force him? No. It has to be an expression of his own goodwill. Okay, so which way is it? You force him or not? Both are true. You force him until he is willing. We force him, we compel him, until he declares, he announces, I want to do it. That's by the carbon. The same regarding a get. If Bezdin deems it his obligation to give a get, we force him until he declares his own personal willingness to give the get. Chotzen, Bezdin can perform a chalitza, afabisha ain't makir, even if they don't actually personally recognize the parties involved. So an Isha and Isha come to Bezdin, I'm the Yavam, she's the Yavama, we want to do chalitza, they do it. Likewise by Mion, the Ketana who walks away from her husband, Mimanen, they officiate at a Mion ceremony, afabisha ain't makir, even if they have no personal knowledge of the identity of the parties involved. Lefichach, as a result of this halacha, ein koisvin get chalitza, elim kein makir. If Edom are watching this process, they see the chalitza being done, they cannot sit down and write a get chalitza. There was such a thing called get chalitza, a document recording the chalitza ceremony. The Edom can't say, look, yeah, Reuven and Rachel did a chalitza in front of Bezdin. They can't do that. Elim kein makir, unless they have personal familiarity with these parties involved. Vein koisvin get mion, and likewise, if Edom had observed a mion, they can't write a document to that effect. Elim kein makir, unless they have personal familiarity with the parties involved. You know why? Because then they'll take the shtar and go to the next bezdin and say, look, we are the Yavam, the Yavama, we did chalitza. The chayshin and the bezdin toyin. We're concerned that the next bezdin down the road won't necessarily realize what happened. They'll say, oh, the Edom documented the story. Apparently, they all knew exactly what happened. And they investigated the identity of the parties involved. And in fact, this was a valid, proper get, chalitza or mion. So don't actually write it down. Don't record it. Unless you actually know who the people are, right? The Rava Didei Omer. This is Rava, the name of Rav Schoira, Rava himself, the Baal HaMemra, he said no. The other way around. Ein chotzen el kein makir. According to him, Bezdin, don't get involved in the chalitza unless you know exactly who's involved. Unless you recognize these people. Ve'ein memanin elim kein makir. Same thing with Mion. You know the story with Rav Moshe Feinstein, I just read recently in the Rav Moshe book, that a woman and a man come to Rav Moshe for a get. And he didn't know them personally, right? So he started questioning them, you know, personal information, their background, and he didn't get a good feeling. Something was fishy. And till he just got up and says, you're pulling my, this is a scheme. This is not legitimate. Tell me the truth. Is this your husband? And she broke down crying. She says, oh, you're right. This is just, I was desperate to get a get. My husband was unwilling to give a get. And that's why I asked a friend to come over, pretend he's the husband, and we wanted to get a get from you. Ramesha saw through the ruse. So it happens. And Bezna has to be careful to personally know the parties involved, or at least have somebody testify on their behalf. So having said that, once we know that Bezna will only get involved if they have personal knowledge of the identity of the people involved, l'fichach koisvin get chalitza, afo b'shem makirin. So the Edom are observing or watching from the outside, they can write it, get chalitza, because what they don't know is irrelevant. The fact is the Bezdin certainly wouldn't do it without knowing. Because when get miun. Afa pishen makirin, the same with the get miun. V'leich ha'shinu on the Bezdin toyin. So now when we see this get chalitza, we're not concerned that perhaps the original Bezdin were toyin, they were mistaken, they were unfamiliar with these halachas. No. This is a known halacha that a Bezdin will not do something without personal familiarity with the people involved. Okay, so what did we learn so far? We have the Braisa Chalita Mutas Kshera, according to Resh Lakish. We tell the Yavam, look, just jump into the Chalitza, that's how you're going to be kind to her. This way you trick him into doing it. It seems from the Gemara that they would only use this method when needed, when appropriate, when he was giving them a hard time, and this was the only way to get the Chalitza done. Rabbi Yechon says, it actually doesn't mean that, because you have to have Kavana for Chalitza, otherwise there's no Chalitza. Rather, we're speaking that they did the chalitza with a tznai, that he'll pay her 200 zuz, and of course she didn't have to keep the tznai, as we find in the halacha of the fellow escaping from the prison. You have to be reasonable, and you cannot demand inflated prices, inflated payments, when unjustified. And again, we learned that the tznai by the get works, the tznai of chalitza does not work. And regarding Mi'usa, forced to the point that he says Roitzani, by get and chalitza, in both cases it works. And we concluded with this question of whether or not the Bezdin will do these things without personal knowledge of the identity of the parties involved. Says the Mishnah, Mitzvahs chalitza. Okay, how exactly does chalitza happen? Bohu ve'yivim te'le Bezdin. The Yavim and Yavama arrive at Bezdin. Ve'hein ma'asim le'etza ha'igenes le. First thing, the Bezdin takes personal interest in this couple. Is this a suitable match? Is it going to lead to good places or not? Shenamar. So Masin le'etza means they give him, they provide him with an etza, ha'igenes le, which is to his benefit. Shenamar v'koru lo zikne iroi v'dibur elav. They call him and they speak to him. What do they speak to him about? Finances? Health? No. Is this a good shidduch? In fact, you may remember back in the beginning of the parish, we had a drasha, the koru loy, loy v'loy shlucham. They personally approach the yavam. They don't send a shliach, come to Bezdin, I have to speak to you. I'll give you some unsolicited advice that you never asked for. If you want somebody to accept your advice, show them that you are taking personal interest in his benefit. Get up and go to him. That's a big move on account of Bezdin. They get up and they go to him personally. Perhaps that's the point of the Torah's halacha. Heim v'lo shlucham. Go personally. Show him that you're taking personal interest in his life. And now he'll be receptive to your advice. So now what do they tell him? Look, you're young, she's older. Vice versa, you're older, she's younger. It's not a good shidduch. Drop it. Do the chalitza. That's what the Gemara and Kafalov explains. Okay, at the end of the day, they're going to Chalitza. Via Imeres. So she begins the process by declaring, and these are the psukim and the parsha there, Me'ein Yavami, my Yavam refuses, Lahokim La'ochav Shem B'Yisrael, to reestablish my former husband's shame, his name, his legacy, his family. Lo'yavo Yavmi. He's unwilling to do Yibam. That's the opening salvo. Vu Imer, he responds, yes, indeed, I confirm. Lo'ycha fatz l'kachto, I'm unwilling to do the Yibam. This is all Lashna Kodesh Dafka. What happens next? The Yavam approaches him in full view of the Iskenim. V'cholza na'ali ma'raglai. She removes his shoe. V'yarka b'fanav. She spits before him. Reik hanira le'nai. Dayanim. The spit has to be visible, has to be a significant amount of reik that the Yanim see it. V'antza v'amra. She concludes the ceremony by following up with the pasuk. This is exactly what happens to a man who refuses to do yivum. That's it. Ad kan hoyu makrim. It would stop right there. It would dictate until this point. So what happens there? Rabbi Hurkanus was once doing a chalitza, and he was being makri. He was dictating to the yivama. This took place under an ela tree, some type of tree. Bikfar itam in this place. He didn't stop there. Vigomer es kol parsha. So he told the Yavama to read all the way till the end, into the next pasuk. V'nikru shmai b'Yisrael beis chalitza na'al. From then on, they had a minig, huchsuku lius gomer kol parsha, to finish into the next pasuk. V'nikru shmai b'Yisrael beis chalitza na'al. Who says this? So aside from the Yavama, who says beis chalitza na'al? Who makes this declaration? V'nikru shmai b'Yisrael, it's going to be declared as beis chalitza na'al. Who declares? Who announces? Mitzvah b'dayanin. Well, the mitzvah of Talmidim, Dayana, but not the, you know, the Talmidim observing the ceremony. Rabbi Da'imer, mitzvah, kolayim sham, loymar chalitzanal. There's a girsa, which adds it another twice, chalitzanal, a total of three times. In fact, the Rav, Martinura, and Sechas Shkolim over there with the Turmas Halishka, where the fellow says, should I do it? Three times, he says that, keinu lashon chacham, we find elsewhere in Shas, it's always repeated three times, and he brings this Mishnah as an example, Chatzanal, three times. We find it by Ataras Nedarim, right? We find it by the Omer, when they cut the Omer, Ektzer, three times, for emphasis, or perhaps another reason. Okay, so Amar Yehuda, what is the mitzvah's chalitza? How do we do it? A simple formula, in short form, Koira, first she reads, v'koira, then he announces, v'chiletzes, she removes the shoe, v'rokikon spits, v'koira, and then she concludes with the other psuk. Ma'ka mashmon, mas nisani, what's reviewed as chiddush? Take a look at the Mishnah. It's all presented clearly in the Mishnah. What's reviewed as formula about? Ha'ka mashmon, reviewed is trying to tell you mitzvah. You see, he starts with the word mitzvah. This is the way it is preferred, it is meant to be this way. But it's only a mitzvah. V'afich, suppose they switch things around, they add of order. Lest one ba, no harm was done, it works. Tani nami hochi, as we find in a braisa. Bein shehiktim chalitza l'rakika, whether chalitza was first and then rakika, or the other way around. Ubein shehiktim rakika l'chalitza, first she spat and then removed his shoe, masha asoi. It was done. There yaitse di chalitza. Amar abaye. A word of caution regarding the recital of the psukim. You have to be careful that it's recited clearly, without any room for misunderstanding and misinterpretation. Haiman de makri, get chalitza. The dayan who's dictating the wording, the psukim, that are meant to be recited during the chalitza ceremony. Interesting, get chalitza. Rashi says it's the sha'as chalitza. He has to be careful. Lo likri ledida. When he reads her portion, so she starts with, me'ein yavami, etc. And then she says, loy ova yavmi, right? He's unwilling to do yivam. She should be careful not to pause between the words. Loy likri lidida, loy lichudei. When reading to her, he should not do loy on its own. Loy, pause, and then go, va'ova yavmi lichudei, and those last words on their own. Why? Because that could be misunderstood. The mashma could sound like Ava Yavmi. He wants to do Yivam. Right? If she says Loi, it sounds like okay, no. And then she says Ava Yavmi. He's willing to do it. See, also, there's a pasuk that precedes it. She says, Me'en Yavami, etc., etc., Loi. Which almost sounds like, oh no, I'm going back on that. He's not me'ein yavami, he's not unwilling. Avayami, he's willing to do it. Whichever way you're going to interpret it, it can be misinterpreted, misunderstood, and be careful. Rather, ella, avayami, read it like in one breath, avayami, all in succession. This way, There's no pause, there's no waiting, there's no misunderstanding. That's regarding her chant. What about his chant? Loy likru the day, when you dictate to the yavam, to the man, be careful. It shouldn't be loy luchu day, loy on its own, and then chafatz l'kachta. Right? Instead of loy chafatz l'kachta, I'm unwilling to take her, it's going to sound like loy, no, chafatz l'kachta, I want to take her. No, no, I'm not refusing. So be careful to read it all together. So again, the day when you read to him, don't do it like loy lechodei loy on its own, then pause and chafas lechodei chafas separately. The mashma, which can sound like he's saying chafas lekachta, I want to take him. Ella, rather you read it all together, loy chafas lekachta. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, yeah, psukim also. He is just a short pause. That's the way people speak. They take a breath in the middle. No big deal. Afsuki milsa less lambo. There's no concern if there's some breaks in the middle. We all understand what they're trying to say. Rav Ashi, Ashkecha, he met Rav Kahana. He saw him in the middle of a chalitza and he was burdening himself. He's troubling himself to do it like Abaye, all one breath. The kemitztair or makrilo. He was having trouble reading it to her. Le'ova yavmi, do it, you know, one shot, and it wasn't coming out too good and he was just doing it over. It was difficult. Amalei, he says, what's the trouble? Why are you getting into this? I mean, don't you know about Rava? Rava says, it's okay, we understand what they're trying to say. You don't have to be so meticulous. Amalei, so Rav Kahana says, yeah, I'm working with Rava, but Rava would agree. You see, there are two parts, right, that Divama says. In the beginning, she says, Me'ein Yavomi, Lahakim la'achav shem bi Yisrael, loy ava yavmi. Right? That's the first time. And then he responds, etc., etc. And then at the end she says, look, this is what you do. Kacha yasal ish, ashal yivnes beis achav. Now, after she says, loy ava yavmi, he responds by saying, lechafas lekachta. So Rav Kahana says there's a big difference between lechafas lekachta, where we know what he's trying to say. He gets up and he says three words, lechafas lekachta. What then is he saying? If not for, I don't want to take her. So over there, I understand Rava. Right? Rava says, look, just read it whichever which way we understand what he's trying to say. Because it's a standalone statement, lo yichafas l'kachta. But even Rava agrees that when the Yavama goes ahead and says, me'ein Yavami lo'akim lo'achim shebi Yisrael, lo'y of a yavmi, perhaps that lo'y can be attributed to the first part of the pasuk, me'ein Yavami. He's unwilling to be making shame. Loi. Oh, no. He just changed his mind. Ava Yavmi. He's actually wanted. He's wanting to do the Yibam. So on that first chant, there is room for misunderstanding. And Rav agrees. You should read it in quick succession without any pausing. Moidu Rav b'loi Ava Yavmi. And that's what I was careful about. Amar Abaye. Haiman the cause of Gita the Chalitzasa. Now we're actually at the Get Chalitza itself, the document which records the whole, you know, procedure. So when he's writing over what happened, Lichtav Hachi, he should write like this. You see, there's halacha that are not meant to write words of Torah, of Psukim, and if there's any concern that they come out sloppy, it's not covered for the Divrei Torah, the fact that I think it's halacha Meshim Messina, it has to have a sirtut, it has to be lined, like we have in the Sefer Torah. There's that line marking going all along the word to keep it straight, to keep it uniform. Therefore, says Rava, says Abaye, when you write over what happened, you know, you can write a formal document to record the proceedings, which included reciting of psukim. So you're not going to write the psukim out. We'll just hint to them in short form. Lichtav Hachi, write like this. So the Bezna is writing, Akri nu alidida, we dictated to her the following. Min, from the word me'in yivami, but don't write out more than two words in a shot, because Rashi says, four words are not meant to do without the, you know, without the lining. So in any case, do it very short. From me'in yivami, ad, and just say ad until ava yavmi. That's the entire, you know, chant of the yivama. And actually, some Rishonim point out that there is a shita, even three words in the Torah should not be written out without the sirtut, without the lining. And apparently that's what Abaye is following. He doesn't write, wasn't want to write even three words in a row without the sirtut. And the point of sirtut is the Rosh Hashanah Machlok is about it. Some say lachmesh mesina, some say because of zekeli manveil, to keep the beauty and uniformity of the wording. That's Abaye's opinion. Be careful. Skip around. Marzutra, on the other hand, mesartet v'ksiv l'kula parsha. He took the trouble to be mesartet, to line the parchment, and in fact wrote out all the psukim the way they are in the Torah, without skipping. Maskifla marbar idi. Okay, so you've addressed the uniformity, the zekeli manveil aspect. It's all nice and straight. But there's another issue, another concern. V'halay nitan likasev. You're not meant to take psukim of the Torah, separate them from the rest of the Torah, and write them in a parchment. Rashi says the Torah is chasuma nitna. It was given as a whole, as a single, undivided entity. You can't just write bits and pieces of the Torah separately. So how can you take a get chalitza and write on a psukim, official psukim on official parchment, in the official formal manner? But says the Gemara, v'ilchasuk avasei de mazutra. Bottom line is, we follow Mazutra's approach, and we do it. Why? So Rashi says, look, you're not trying to make a Sefer Torah. You're not trying to make a short version Sefer Torah. You're just trying to record the event. This is what happened. Describing the event that happened. Especially, Rashi says, it's a Mokeh Mitzvah, and therefore there's no concern. Okay, so we discussed the Kriya. We learned about Chalitza itself. Now about Rikika, spitting. Amar Abaye, how do you do this? Rakakav, a called Tosei Ruch. Suppose she spits, and then the wind comes and blows it away before anybody sees it. Le'asav le'klum, it's worthless. My timer. Why? B'yarka b'fanabin. It has to be in front of him, in front of the Yavam. Hilkach, therefore, if there's a big disparity in terms of height, you have a problem. Hilkach, hu aruch. Suppose he is very tall, he guts, and she's very short. So even if the wind comes and blows it away, the second she spit that spit, it was in front of him, right? Because he's much taller than her. So even if the wind carries away, it's okay. On the other hand, he aruchav u'gutz. If she's the one, tall one, and he's a short one, in this case, but you need to wait adamati ladi api until the spit actually comes in front of his face and he sees it. V'hador azal, and then the wind could go and blow it away. Amarava achlo tuma. Suppose she tried to generate some saliva, so she got involved in eating garlic, varoksa, and spit, and spat. Achla gargishta, or she chewed some clay to produce this extra saliva, varoksa, and then she spat. Le'asav le'klum, it's worthless. My time, why? Because it's not natural. V'yarka means me asma, being has to be natural. Like in this case, doesn't work. V'marava tzrichi dayonu le'mechse ruka. Dayanim, who are there, have to actually notice the roik. Kinafik mipum divam, as it's coming out of her mouth, they have to see it, has to be substantial, noticeable. Tachsiv le'enei askenim v'yarka, has to be done a full view of these akin. V'nikishmoy b'yisrael, beis chalut sanal, mitzvah b'dayanim, b'lebe tambinim. Tanya, omrav yudah, pamachas, ayuni yeshvim, p'nei retarfen. So what happens that once there was a chalitza, and we were there by Rab Tarfon, and Bosu Yivam Alachlitz. V'Amar Lanu, he turned to us at the end of the procedure. Anu Kulchem, all of you respond, declare, announce, Chalutz Anal, Chalutz Anal, Chalutz Anal, Hadron Alach Mitzvah Chalitza. So what did we learn today? We started with a braisa, Chalitza Mutas Ksheru. We have two pshatim. Rosh Lakish says, we trick him into doing chalitza, pretending that it's a yibum, and that works. Rechon says, without kavana for chalitza, it's worthless. Rather, mutas means she promises him some money, which of course she doesn't carry out, as we learned, because, like in the case of the fellow escaping from the Beis Asurim, you have no right to coerce him and extort his money, and therefore we compel him to do the chalitza, but we don't force her to pay the 200 zuz. Now this is based on the concept that chalitza is something that cannot be done through a shliach, and therefore tznai cannot be embedded in the chalitza, has no value. As opposed to by get, shliach works, tanai works. What about mu'usa? Bezin sees the need to force him. Well, if he responds by saying, right, Sani, 100%, I'm with you, then either get or chalitza would work. Just like by the carbon, koifin oisa shiyem right, Sani, as we explained from the Rambam, you allow the etzetoyf to come out in full force. There was a machlokes here whether the Bezdin will do any of these things without actually knowing the parties involved. How exactly does mitzvah chalitza take place? The Yavam begins, Me'en Yavami, look, he's willing to, unwilling to do chalitza, to do Yavam. Yavam responds, confirms, yes, lechavas lekachta. She actually does the chalitza, removing his shoe. She spits, has to be in his presence, has to be something natural. And then she responds, she concludes by saying, this is what happens to a man who's unwilling to do Yavam. V'nikr shmoi b'Yisrael b'etz chalitza nal. According to Yehuda, all present will respond in kind. Now, we must be careful to actually read the words in an audible and understandable way. And as far as the get chalitza, the document, which is given to her at the end of the day, so she can take it and prove that she had chalitza and go marry out, we pass like Marzutra, we write it out all the way through from beginning to end, including the psukim. Just be careful to be misartit. It comes out nice and uniform. Hatzlacha rabba to you and all the best.